Well, we're continuing in our series, Great Recovery, and we've been talking about the beliefs, the basic beliefs that rebuild a nation. The idea that we are not going to sit around and whine and moan and complain. It seemed as though we have a lot of that these days. Just whine. I mean, it's almost like the whiners are louder and more in number than those of us who believe that this is my Father's world and that it's a good world and it's a good day to be alive. Psalm 1:1 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers." Have you ever noticed that when you get around a bunch of people, it just seems like the conversation goes south? That everyone just feels like the world's coming to an end or life is bad and it's their fault and his fault. Now we've got another election season coming up, and the good thing about that is we got a whole new crop of people to cuss, right? Somehow we have forgotten that God is in control. And we've also, I think, forgotten that not even God can steer a parked car. That God invites us to join him in creating the world we live in. And that's why we've been talking about the basic fundamental beliefs that build a nation. Things like God's favor, hope is everything, work is a calling, money makes me responsible. And the basic belief today is simply this: it's not all about me. It's not all about me. Say that with me. It's not all about me. And the more I focus on me, I mean, have you ever really just looked at yourself in the mirror, and the more you look at yourself, the more you go, God, what were you thinking? Right? I mean, just focus on every little detail and every little blemish. Instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to take what God has given me, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to join God in his world. And I'm going to live this day understanding that God loves me. I have his favor. I have the hope of glory, which will never fade away. I have been called to do something important in this world. My resources, my money, my gifts make me responsible. And today, I'm going to, just for today, live with this philosophy. It ain't all about me. It ain't all about you loving me and taking care of me and blessing me and helping me. It's about me serving you in God's name. How about that? That's the one thing, it seems to me, that really separates the successful and the maturing and the joy-filled people from the moaners and the whiners and complainers. I mean, whining and moaning is contagious, is it not? Why does the Bible say, don't sit in the company of mockers? Because it's contagious. It rubs off on anyone. Listen to this. I just put a bunch of verses in here because it just seems like we need to rekindle this idea of it's not all about me. Here, right below Psalm 1:1. Whoever serves must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor, right? Going back to God's favor. How do I get God's favor? Here it is. My Father will honor, though, the one who serves me. Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enthusiasm, right? It doesn't cost you anything to be upbeat, right? How about this? Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. How about this? You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. The idea is this, is that your salvation in Christ is full, free, and paid for. You don't have to do another thing to earn it or to keep it, but those who love God will serve God by serving one another. It ain't all about me. Say it with me. It ain't all about me. It's just not all about me today. How's that? Maybe tomorrow. It'll all be about me. But today, it's not about me. It's like that, what that great theologian Bob Dylan said. You may be the ambassador to England and France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Martin Luther King said, everyone can be great because everyone can serve. Albert Einstein said this, it is high time that we exchange the idea of success and replace it with the ideal of service. Serving, 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 constantly. Wherever you're going, your job, your work, your life, your relationships, are we serving? You know what I find in my marriage when I'm serving my wife? I'm a lot happier and I get a lot more of my needs met because I'm inspiring her to serve me because I'm serving her. It's just that simple. In my marriage, it ain't all about me. In my life, it ain't all about me. It's just not all about me. I'm to serve something bigger than me. Because this is so fundamentally important, I want to arm you, because I know everyone in this room believes this. You join me in this conviction that the very best way to get out of a bad situation is to serve your way out of it. To get up off of your good intentions and do something. To get up, suit up, show up every single day and do the next right thing and leave the results up to God. Not even God can steer a parked car, right? So I want to arm you with some reasons why we serve. Now I'm just not here recruiting you to serve at the gathering, although you should. But I'm trying to get you to change your mindset. That servanthood is in season at home, at work, in your family, your relationships, your friendships. And God honors those who serve, who get up and say, you know what, today it ain't all about me, man. Just not all about me. It's about the people I will meet. It's about the God that I love and that I serve. So let me use the word reason, R-E-A-S-O-N-S, and give you 7 reasons why we serve. Now again, you ought to get this CD. It'll be free after the service. Pick it up, listen to it. Let this stuff get into your brain. Teach it to your team. Teach it to your children. Are you with me? Teach it to everyone you possibly. Let's just get this word out. This is a good, good talk because I've heard it before. All right? 7 reasons we serve are serving recenters my life. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, this is my Father's world. This is a God-centric world. Seek God, serve God, recenter your life. Your job is not your God. Say that with me. My job is not my God. And if you don't believe that, trust me, one day someone will usher you to the car with an armed guard. And you'll say, I wish I'd listened to Foster. My job is not my God. Amen? Your God is your God. It seems simple to me. Either God is God or he's not God. If God is God and he's made certain promises and he has said to us, don't worry about tomorrow. This is where most of us live, isn't it? Most of us live yesterday or tomorrow. That's why some of you are here and you're not here, right? You're texting. You're Twittering. I hope God causes your Twitter finger to fall off. You're worrying about tomorrow. You're thinking about tomorrow. You're worrying about the stock market. You're worrying about the price of oil. You're worrying about peace. You're worrying about, will someone blow someone up today? You can only be here. That's why it drives me nuts when people say, you should have been here yesterday. Is this not insane? Oh, we had a sale last week. You should have been here. What am I supposed to do with that? Like, people are nuts, don't you? I'm here today. I can't not be here yesterday. Hello? Serving recenters my life. It helps me understand every single day that God is in control. He has told me not to worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Each day has trouble enough of its own. I mean, each day is filled with enough to do. Do today's to-dos only. Hello? Let God take care of the rest. Mother Teresa said it beautifully. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. Well said, Mother Teresa. Serving recenters my life. The best way to capture time for eternity is to serve a noble cause today. To love someone in the name of Jesus today. To care today. To be compassionate today. To do the good that you know you can do and do it today. E, R, I serve because it recenters my life. E, I serve because serving encourages others. I don't know if you know this or not, but people are watching you. All of us in this room are an example, good or bad. Some of us are a cautionary tale. Amen? Oh, definitely don't be like that dude. But all of us have someone who are looking to us to lead the way. Listen to what Jesus said. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. When you are serving, when you are stepping up, when you are out of the cynic seat and you don't whine and complain, yeah, things are. I'm not stupid. I mean, things could be better, a lot better. But that's been true the day I was born. It'll probably be true the day I die, right? But this is the issue. Today, I'm going to get up, suit up, show up, and do the next right thing. For some of you, doing the next right thing is writing the next right song. I was looking through Facebook the other day, and I saw someone quote whose name I won't say, but says, my job today is to get up, suit up, show up, and write the next song. I wonder where they got that. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, as in fact you're doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Here it is. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now, how do you do that? Warn the idle, encourage. Have you ever tried to warn someone and you did and they got hacked off at you? Have you ever tried to encourage the timid and they just go back into their shell? Have you ever tried to help the weak and they feel, I don't need no help? You know, the very best way to encourage others is by your example of getting up, suiting up, and serving every day, every day. Understand that people are watching you. You're setting the tone and the tenor at your home. You're setting the tenor here at the gathering. You're setting the tenor in your family. Be the person who gets up and says, you know what? It ain't all about me. It ain't all about me. I'm not going to complain and whine about the things other people don't do. I'm going to serve. I'm going to trust that God always honors service. I can whine or I can win. If I whine, I lose. If I serve, I win. Simple? Somebody tweet that. If you whine, you lose. If you serve, you. Kind of fading out, isn't it? R. Serving recenters my life. It gets my focus back on God. It gets my focus back on the things that God cares about. Serving people, loving people, helping people, understanding. And I can get very, very off track when I'm just sitting around waiting for someone to fix me. It encourages others. It's an example. Other people see it. Trust me. I don't care how small your service is. People see it. People notice. People note it. And people rise to the occasion or they go down. A, R-E-A, Serving is, one of the most powerful parts of serving, is a cure for loneliness. How many people do I talk with almost every week who are just profoundly lonely? Some of you right now watching across the country here in our live cast are at home and you're lonely. Well, you know, you need to get out of your home and engage where people are, right? Serving requires that you get out and get among people. And being around people, what you find is people are cool. In the main, there are turkeys. Can I hear an amen? Seems like we're related to most of them, all right? But when I start serving, I have to just each one of us, this is Romans 12, has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. That's like, you know, Forrest Gump in Praise of His Mother. You know, she has a way of explaining things so I can understand them. God says, you want to understand how life works? Here it is. You got a body. You got a hand, you got a hand, you got a foot, you got a foot, you got a nose, you got an ear, right? And not and your ear's not your foot, and your foot's not your ear. If your foot were to say, you know what, I'm not doing anything, do I get to be an ear? I'm sick of this. I got calluses. I got to do all the work. The ear is just right on the head. I go on strike. I mean, God, I mean, don't tell me God is complicated, right? He says, so in Christ, in other words, here's an illustration of what it means to live in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Hello? One of the smartest things you do, and I hear this over and over and over and over and over again, is to engage in the acts of service, like to gather. One of the reasons God created His church is so that we would have ways to come together and serve one another. I will never forget when Paul and I came here in 1989, we met in a school. We started a church, we met in a school for 10 years. And it was a great experience. And we bought 280 acres of land, we built this big old thing and moved. We moved from our school where we were to the new facility was a mile. And when we moved, 600 people decided that mile was too far to go. I was hacked. PO'd, they might say. Until over time, I would hear people. When we were in the school for 10 years, we had 163,000 people who attended. Now, here's why I say that, because I've heard that many people tell me, I used to hear you speak when you were at the school. 163,314 people have told me that. Somebody's lying. Can I hear an amen? And so for years, I was like, yeah, whatever. And then one day my brain cell came on, as it's wont to do every leap year. And I asked a second question. Well, what did you like about it? Well, you know what? It was a lot of stuff to do, pulling cords and sitting up and taking down. And I was a young Christian, and I just, you know, couldn't do much. So I'd set up chairs, or I'd do this, or I'd do that, or I'd set up the coffee, and we'd talk around. And then when you moved to that big building, it was like you didn't need me anymore. Okay, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I understand that? Why didn't I understand that I complained for 10 years about being in a school because I had to set up and take down and all the aggravation. And the only one who felt that way was me. Everyone else felt like, isn't it cool that we get to go over there and create out of this thing a safe place where people can get to God? Kind of like what's going on right now. And I have to tell you, I'm stupid and dumb, but I'm not totally an idiot. I've learned a few things. That what's going on in the gathering right now is allowing people to touch the work of God in the world in ways they can. yay, God. And serving is a way to get people out of their apartments and out of their houses and out of their pain and out of their disappointment and forget themselves for a little while, pulling a cord, serving a cup of coffee, loving a kid to God, loving a teenager, and that is a holy act of impossibility. Can I hear an amen? And people, hundreds of people walk away from the gathering every week having served God and having been out into the marketplace and the flow of other people where they otherwise would have sat home, flicked through the channels, and watched football, which is stupid. So serving is God's way of saying it's time to get up off your good intentions and get in the game. Many Christians suffer from loneliness instead of serving. And yet we belong to each other. And do you get it into your brain that one of the reasons why God formed the church is so we could encourage each other, stimulate each other, and give each other what we all desperately need is human reaction and connection, friendship, closeness. And here's what's happened. When you serve, what happens is this. And when you're serving, your life is going okay. It's not great, but it's not bad. But one day, you wake up and you got cancer and you've lost your job. Your kids hate your guts. Your wife moves back to Indiana. And all of a sudden, you are now in crisis mode. And what happens is all these years you've been serving, all these years you've been saying, it's not all about me, it's not all about me. All of a sudden, these people who you've been serving now start gathering around you. Now listen to me. This is the way it is. Maybe it's not the way it should be, but this is the way it is. If you wait to reach out to people when you are drowning, too many D's, right? They're going to run from you. Because you know what? They don't know you. They don't know your heart. They don't know the upside. They haven't seen you when you're healthy and giving and pouring. Tell you, when you serve people, they'll be there for you. Amen? And if they're not there for you, then you can cuss and fuss and complain and kick somebody in the good intentions. Serving recenters my life. R-E. It encourages others. A, it's a cure for loneliness. Here's this one. How about, here's another good reason to serve. Serving sharpens, that's the S, sharpens my skills. It recenters my life. It encourages others. It's a cure for loneliness. And it sharpens my skills. Because all of a sudden, you now have to employ yourself. And you just see how good your relational skills are, your technical skills are, your serving skills are, your problem-solving skills are, how you relate to other people. Because here's what's happened. And let me just say this for those of us who are looking for jobs. If you go in for an interview from a job, and you're mad, upset, you've been whining, complaining, sitting around, hoping, praying to God, this is the day you get a breakthrough. You will telegraph all of that to the person interviewing you. People who interview people for jobs are not stupid. One of the reasons they do this is because they're sensitive to the inside workings of the people who come before them. And if you are a taker and a consumer, they will see you a mile away. But if you're used to serving and if you're used to engaging with other people, if you understand that people's skills are the most important skills there are, hello? I read studies that tell me 80 to 85% of all the factors in the success of a man or woman in the marketplace are people skills. We just think, hey, I'm going to make a widget. You need somebody to make a widget? I make great widgets. Now, as my personality is like a porcupine. And I will spread chaos throughout your organization. But I make a great widget. Amen. God has given each one of us special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Helen Keller said this, I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it's the chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. When you serve and you do it with excellence and commitment, it begins to hone and sharpen your skills. Are you with me? Malcolm Gladwell's book, I'm sure many of you have read, called Outliers, puts forth this proposition that all truly successful people have to invest 10,000 hours in learning their craft, their trade, or their art before they're successful. And if you've not read the book, it's worth either buying or getting someone's copy to read how Gladwell traces the rise of the Beatles. Anybody read this? That how, as they were playing the bars and the honky-tonks and all these little dingy places, that by the time they came to America, they had 10,000 hours together on stage. Traces Bill Gates, the rise of computing in America, hockey, of all things. And what you find is that before you really, 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 really get great, you hone those skills in off the stage. Are you with me? Behind the scenes. I mean, what if Tuesday an opportunity came your way that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you failed at it simply because you have waited to do anything until the door opened? I know people who are going to be amazing when somebody hires them. I know people who want to be the next great country music thing, and they're going to write songs and practice music once they get a deal. Well, you're dumb as a stick. Okay, that's what we call it in Nashville. Serving sharpens my skills. One of the things I'm committed to, I'll say it to you guys because you won't tell anybody. I suck when it comes to names, man. I'm just bizarre. I have brain damage, and that's one of them. But I've just made a commitment that I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to stay that way. And so there's a guy that, this is an example. There's a guy that that is a little store I go to constantly, and I've been going there a couple of years, and he's there, been there a couple of years. He's a nice guy, and I, you know, thank you, buddy. Hey, good way to go, partner. You know all those words we use because we don't know your name? So if you leave this morning, I say, hey there, friend, you say, well, jerk don't know my name. Hey, I barely know my name, so just leave me alone. So I went up to him the other day, and I said, here's the deal. I said, I've been coming here a while, and you've been waiting on me, and I'm embarrassed to say to you, I do not know your name. Would you give me the honor to use your name? I promise to, if you'll tell me what it is. He said, yeah. He says, Ryan. He was, okay, great. Well, for about 4 months, hey, Ryan, do you think I get better service? Mm-hmm. Do you think when he sees me, he goes like this, he's up and he's leaning. Hey, how you doing, Dave? Hey, Ryan, how you doing? Man, what's going on? Ryan. So what am I trying to do? I'm trying to sharpen my skill. That I can begin to discipline myself where I'm weak. Then, you know, the day may come that remembering someone's name can make the difference in whether or not they'll listen to me and hear my message or not, right? Same thing is true with you. So each one of us have been given skills that need to be sharpened and honed. And we do that by serving. Serving in places like the gathering. Serving in places that we don't even real make the connection. So serving is, it recenters my life. It's encouragement to others. It's a cure for loneliness. It helps sharpen my skills. But serving, the O in reason, is it opens up new possibilities. Proverbs 18, a gift opens up the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. Before anyone is ever going to take note of you, they have to notice you. And before they notice you, you have to be there. This is brain surgery, isn't it? And so when you're out there serving and giving and just doing your, got your head down and you're just doing the work, man, you're not a whiner, a complainer. You get up every day and say, you know, it ain't about me. Just today it's not about me. It's about the people I serve, the people I work with. It's about my wife, about my husband, about my family, it's about my kids. It's about other people loving God, serving other people in his name. All of a sudden, one day, someone notices you, notices how you work and how you serve and how you give, how you're always positive and upbeat, how you got a smile on your face and a spring in your step, how you're the first person to lean forward with a handshake. You're the first person to see the positive in the situation. All of a sudden, the president, the vice president, the district manager says, I want him. I want her. The only thing that rose you above everyone else is the fact that you are a person who just constantly somehow rise above the pettiness of your workplace and serve and give. You're constantly positive, constantly lifting, constantly looking at the solution side of life. And all of a sudden, someone looks at you and says, the gift opens the way of the giver and it ushers them into the presence of greatness. Does that happen? Yes. It happens every day. Here's the N in reasons. R, it recenters my life, encourages others, is a cure for loneliness. It sharpens my skills. It opens me up to new possibilities. Here's the best one right here. You ready? Serving never, some of you don't even, you were waiting for this one, never goes unrewarded. So my dear brothers, since future victory is sure, be strong and steady, always abounding in the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted. So are you confronted with the kind of work that you feel like is beneath you? Just do it for the Lord, right? Do it for the Lord. Do it for God's glory. Because when you do it for the Lord, it's never wasted. People who are teaching our children right now are doing it for the Lord. It is never wasted. They're going to be rewarded for loving our kids to God. Yay, God. Hello? No kid ought to ever have to grow up and get over having been taken to church. Don't get me started on that one. My mom and dad took me to church and handed me over to people who looked like they were on parole. This was community service. Shut up, sit down. Get your courtly out. Now, if you're not a Baptist, you don't know what a courtly is. Man, I'm thinking this has got to be painful. You know, what did they do wrong to ever have to teach kids? But you know what? I do everything I possibly can. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I'm doing everything I possibly can to not think about the ungratefulness of people. I'm serving God. I'm doing this for God. I'm trying to be faithful for God. And I realize that if I serve the Lord and work like the Lord, I get my reward from the Lord. Now let me just say, is this stuff true? If it's true, then let's just do it and stop panicking like everyone else. God is faithful. God is here. God is good. God is as big as he's ever been. I love what Winston Churchill said. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. All right, reasons. I serve. It recenters my life. Amen? It encourages others. It's a cure for loneliness because it means I got to get off my good intentions and out of my house. Praise Jesus. It sharpens my skills. It opens me up to brand new possibilities because now people are seeing that I am a good person to be around. They want to be around people like me who are constantly encouraging, lifting, and helping people. It never, 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 ever goes unrewarded. So anything I do, see, if you get up, you know someone who doesn't have a job, what are they supposed to do? Sit on the couch, eat ho-hos, and do reruns of Oprah. Praise Jesus. And send out resumes on the email. Now get off your butt. Go do something for someone else. Cost you nothing but a little time, a little sweat, and maybe, just maybe, a little pride. And all of a sudden, you put yourself back into the stream, under the spout where the glory gushes out. S, reasons to serve. Number 7, serving shows I'm serious. You see, what I serve, what I back up with my money and my time and my gifts and my effort is what I care about. And I want people to know. Every Sunday morning, people know in my neighborhood that I'm going to church, that I'm a pastor. They know where I'm going. They know what I'm about. They know I'm serious about it because I am going to worship. I'm doing the things that matter. I'm taking the things out of theory and putting them into practice. So let me just close with this. This is Colossians 3. Work hard and cheerfully at all you do. Amen? Just as though you were working for the Lord, not merely for your masters. Remembering that it is the Lord Jesus who is going to pay you. Hello? Giving you a full portion of all he owns. He is the one you are really working for. And if you don't do your best for him, he will pay you in a way you don't like. We don't like that one, do we? Right? Praise the Lord. Come on, Lord, fix me. Come on, Lord. You promise you take care of me. But you know what? But you got to do your part. That sucks, doesn't it? I just want God to do it all. Remember this. In a relationship with God, it is a father to a child. Right? Let me ask all the fathers here. Do any of you love your children? Of course. But do you understand that enabling your children by your love is no benefit and no blessing? Sometimes loving your son or daughter means you have to let them face the consequences of their actions. Anyone? We all know that. Do you think God's going to treat you or me any differently? Does that mean it doesn't work? No. Does it mean he doesn't love us? No. It means he wants us to grow up. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you allow us to grow up, to put on our big boy pants, to pull them up and walk out into the world and say, you know what? It's not about me. It ain't all about me. I don't have to be the center of attention. It ain't about the world bending to my will. It's about serving God by loving people. It's about serving God by teaching a class, by serving God by showing up, by doing my work, but every single day. Father, we just love you and we serve you. We know that we have your favor. We have the hope of glory. We know that our work is a divine calling and privilege, that our blessings make us responsible. And Father, we also know that we're here to serve. Give us the courage. Give us the bravery. I pray for someone here today who just feels as though serving, this is the last thing they wanted to hear. Serving, oh, I hear this all the time. I'm sick of it. Because I do and 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 nothing happens. Father, I pray right now for that person, for that brother and that sister. I pray that you would give them a vision of what it's like to be faithful to the task, that you reward faithfulness, that you lift up the hands of the weary, that you empower. We're going to wait on you. We're going to run and not be weary. We're going to fly. We're not going to faint, but we're going to keep going. And we're not going to be just barely getting by. We're going to be overcomers. We're overcomers in Jesus, and we claim that now. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good one.